Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Jobber Circle Wrestling Podcast. We just finished watching AEW Revolution.
Revolution,
yeah. So, pretty good pay-per-view overall, honestly. Mm-hmm. A little bit longer, I guess, right?
When
you consider longer, maybe just, I mean, the Iron Man match, obviously.
Yeah.
Felt a little long.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it was worth the watch, right?
Yeah, for sure. I've seen people talking about this pay-per-view before saying, like, oh, this pay-per-view is going to go on until 1 a.m.
Yeah.
And I even thought so, too. I was like, man.
Yeah, it almost felt like lengthy. Yeah, we're going to be recording and editing and stuff, you know, way past 1. Yeah. It's already going to be almost midnight here, so... Yeah, no, but that's pretty cool. So let's get right into it. Of course, with our rating system, of course, if it gets a 1, which is really our only bad rating, I guess you could say, 1 gets a potato, 2 gets a pop, mm-hmm. 3, this is awesome, 4, it's elite, and 5 is going to be a brass ring.
Yes.
So you want to go ahead and start the first match?
Yeah, so starting off the pay-per-view, we had Ricky Starks versus Chris Jericho.
The Ricky Stonks. The pretty Ricky. All the insert Jim Ross nickname here.
He loves it.
Yeah, so you know, it was good starting this feud. This is a feud that's been going on for a while, but I mean, that's what I realized about this pay-per-view. There was lots of feuds that
literally I was just gonna say that.
Yeah, there was lots of feuds. So I guess this technically would have been the least consequences to fight for type feud. So
right.
But it's also a feud that involves two, you know, top stars, as mm-hmm. in Jericho and Stark. So, yeah, you know, keep it up with the pattern of starting out hot, you know.
Yeah.
Keeping getting, especially Ricky Starks, getting the crowd hot.
Yeah.
So, yeah, and then, of course, we get the Sammy and Action Andretti cameo with the distraction.
Yep.
That was pretty crazy because Sammy was coming down all confident and then Action Andretti like literally just like plowed him out of nowhere.
Yeah.
Even Jim Ross was like, where are these guys coming from? Then I did enjoy the ending spot where you had Jericho, of course, classic cheat move with the Floyd the Bat hitting Ricky Stonks with the bat. But then right when he tried to do the Judas effect, Ricky blocked it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he even blocked a code breaker, which was Jericho's other finishing move. So,
I'm still like learning all of these moves.
Yeah.
Slowly but surely.
Yeah, yeah. See, it's not like you just missing a chunk of wrestling. Like, see, there's other people that are just getting, like, can you imagine just getting into it out, not knowing nothing about it? But Kaylin is the type of fan where she watched as a kid, and much like everyone else, or, you know, a lot of other people, you know, except for the real ones who stayed watching wrestling, mm-hmm. you know, she branched off, you know, and you started watching other stuff, and then we met and brought you back the past 6 years. So, yeah, that's what you've learned about wrestling is there's so much information. Because look at you 6 years back into it and you're still, like you said, learning. I still learn some stuff when especially now with AEW and Excalibur calling moves. I'm like, shit, I've never seen or heard that move before ever.
Yeah.
You know, and that's
like
rare.
Like sliced bread. Never heard of sliced bread before.
Oh, well, that, yeah.
Recently.
Basically, I mean, I've heard of sliced bread. I mean, you like get amazed with all the wrestling moves that I know, but literally all the rest, like if you were a kid that played a wrestling game and created your own wrestler, and literally when you create your own wrestler, you have to choose like at least like 16 to 20 moves to your wrestler.
Yeah.
And yeah, if you were a kid that played those games and literally sat through and like went through every single move because they have the little like, you know, little blank people showing the moves.
Right.
That's how I learned all my wrestling moves mainly. It's just by playing those wrestling games and creating a character and going through all the moves, seeing, oh, which move am I going to be? And then you see the move over mm-hmm. and over and you learn the name.
Yeah.
That's really,
it just sticks with you.
Yeah, exactly. So anyone that, like, yeah, played those games, that's where you got a lot of your wrestling move knowledge. Like, even now, like, that's, like, this pay-per-view, I saw two moves in this pay-per-view that were pulled out that, like, I hadn't seen before other than the creator wrestling game, like, you know what I mean,
right?
But nonetheless, so Ricky Starks wins by Rochambeau. Where would you get this match?
I'm gonna give it a 2.
I'll give it a pop.
Two
is good.
Yes.
Good way to start the match.
Mm-hmm.
The final burial, this was awkward.
Yeah, for sure.
Like, all I'm going to say is, how does Tony Khan claim that he has more money than WWE all the time, yet we get these, like, it's just, like, low-budget type mm-hmm. matches?
Yeah.
You know?
It's either, like, very put together or, like, no thought goes into it at all.
Right? Yeah, it kind of sucks. It's like, but, you know, I still kept an open mind, and I guess it still played off throughout the end because going into this, we kind of really didn't know what it was. You know, of course, the final burial, we see Jungle Boy with a promo at the, you know, technically like at a grave site with the shovel and talking about a hole and dirt on top. Mm-hmm. So it's like, everything's implying to that's a Buried Alive match.
Exactly.
And I told you maybe they couldn't call it a Buried Alive match because, you know, like PG reasons are, I don't know, you know, they're not technically PG, but you just never know. Like I said,
right.
When there was the last Buried Alive match in WWE with Undertaker and Vince, you know, that weekend, me and my brother tried to have a Buried Alive match with gravel and a wheelbarrow, you know, throwing gravel on top of each other. So,
dangerous.
Yeah. So maybe that's why they couldn't call it a Buried Alive match. So we're like, okay, a final burial. So they're going to do something like that. And then we saw online that it like was going to get changed to a no DQ match.
Yeah. No holds barred.
Yeah. No holds barred. And we're like, what? Like, did they just change it?
Yeah.
And then it ended up basically turning into a casket match.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's what it turned into. Yeah, so they did eventually announce, like, that was the thing too. Like, they kept, I think that's how they get people to watch, is they don't announce things right away, so they literally like make you tune in to figure out like what is this really about. Because we didn't even know like the whole that the stipulations were that you had to put them in the casket and close it. You know.
Yeah.
Until literally right before the match was starting. So we finally got the clarification there.
Yeah. So that was kind of weird, but it still ended up being a good match, and symbolizing the end to the feud, hopefully being the end to the feud. We were just thinking throughout the whole match, I'm sure a lot of people were like, at what point is Luchasaurus coming out?
Yeah.
But what do you think they're doing with him?
I don't know. I think they're just maybe just putting him in the back for now because maybe they realize that, you know, this is obviously just a feud between Jungle Boy and Christian Cage, so maybe they're just kind of like just backseating him for now.
You think he's gonna get a gimmick change?
I don't know.
You think it's time he needs one?
Maybe. But then what is especially since he's not with Jungle Boy, because you know
that was the whole
the jungle character with
he was dinosaur. Luchasaurus since Lucha Underground.
All right, so it'd be kind of hard to change his.
But even then, see, it's like his gimmick has always tried to feel like he was Luchasaurus in Lucha Underground, so that was like, you know, that fit, and then he was Luchasaurus with Jungle Boy, and that fit, and then now it's like, you got to do something else.
Yeah, maybe that's what they're waiting for.
Yeah, maybe a little refresh.
There's something in the works, maybe.
Because Jungle Boy is like it's amazing. Honestly, it's amazing how popular Jungle Boy is, that he like kind of is. Always been in kind of, you know, since his singles run, he's, you know, it's always been about Christian,
right?
But you know, just always kind of like dud feuds, even in the tag team when they were a tag team, it was always kind of dud feuds, but yet everyone's still always behind him because he's Jungle Boy. So that's just goes to show, you know, his charisma and personality.
And then like right before this, when Christian Cage, I guess they were waiting for him to come back, they didn't know what to do with Jungle Boy, so they literally put him in a tag team with Hook,
right? Like, it's just like, it's kind of like he gets thrown in these jobber spots, but it's because he's Jungle Boy, he still makes it work.
Yeah.
But my point is, like, he needs something better, like, from here on out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Logan's joining the episode. He doesn't know what to do.
He doesn't know what to do with himself.
Usually he's not in here when we're recording. Yeah.
And when he is, he's on our, seat, so.
That buddy.
Jungle Boy ends up winning by concerto, putting Christian Cage in the casket and closing it up, which actually, they actually saved themselves with this ending.
They did.
It was actually really cool.
If we just would have closed it and that was it, that would have been kind of,
Yeah, but then you had the cool effect where it literally just drops.
It dropped him, and then you got the little smoke come up.
Yeah, a little smoke action.
Yeah, you're right. They saved themselves with that because that was really cool.
Yeah, for sure. And then I don't know, I just kind of liked how it was like, how do I say, like, I like how they just got like, I don't want to sound bad, but like they just got down dirty, like,
right? You know, yeah. And they were like,
they're all sweating dirt. And then there's dirt everywhere sticking to them. You at one point were like, okay, Jungle Boy has like literally dirt all over his mouth.
Yeah. I every match pretty like nobody, you know, or at least all the hardcore matches like that, like nobody, they weren't afraid to get, like you said, down and dirty.
Yeah.
Which is awesome. Yeah. You know, which which means, you know, they really love what they're doing, which is always cool to see. Mm-hmm. What would you rate this match?
I thought it was pretty awesome there towards the end, so I think I'm going to give it a 3.
I was gonna say that too. I'll give it a this is awesome. Uh-huh. It was a little confusion to start off, mm-hmm. like with the match, but you know, we knew that, you know, it was gonna be a match regardless,
yeah.
of some kind of crazy rules.
Yeah.
And yeah, it ended up working out. So yeah, this is awesome.
Yeah. All right, and then after that we had the trios title match on the line. House of Black versus the Elite. The Elite.
Well, yeah, the Young Bucks and Kenny Omega. Yeah.
Yeah. So again, starting off House of Black with another banger entrance. They literally just have always the most badass, yes. you know, way to come into their match. Yes. So cool.
Yes, that was awesome. And yeah. then like how you pointed out Julia Hart with her nails, yes. and stuff.
They look more like fingertips, not yes. really like nails, but yeah, so cool. Yeah. I think this House of Black was like literally the best thing that could have happened to her, because before the whole cheerleader thing and then, you know, Varsity Blondes obviously didn't work out. So I would have hate to have seen her like kind of go down or, you know, get set back with them. So definitely this really fits her. I'm glad.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. And like you said, just always a banger entrance, and I just love the silhouette behind the flag, and then just yeah. how they always have badass mask and just look like freaking yeah, just
mm-hmm. and awesome. then even when they take off the mask, they have like their you know, their face paint stuff yeah. going on. So,
and of course the classic, like, you know, the black, you know, going to black and right. then popping back up, and then mm-hmm. there they are. I think that. And I'm especially happy for it, too, because I think this was Malakai Black ultimate, like, vision and goal in WWE. And, like, you know, you hear the story of how, like, Vince, like, straight up, like, even told him, like, I just don't get it. Mm-hmm. Like, he just didn't get his whole character and, like, yeah. gimmick. Because, like, unless you're the Undertaker, you can't do anything of that nature. Because he's just going to be like, well, you're not the Undertaker. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Stupidest thing ever.
Yeah. So that's why those gimmicks don't really, you know. Haven't really worked out since right. The Undertaker.
Yeah.
But not to compare the two, but I mean, you can see the comparisons, but not to make a direct comparison, because obviously yeah. it is different.
Mm-hmm.
What the House of Black and Malakai Black is doing, but it just, like I said, this is his vision, and it's working. Mm-hmm. 100%.
Obviously, yeah. I mean, you had this match, total nonstop action throughout the entire thing.
Yeah, no pun intended to, you yeah. know, Young Bucks and Generation Me over there.
Yeah.
Generation Me. Yeah. We have Moss. This literally, as soon as, like, it's been cold, and as soon as it gets warm out here in the country, all these little moss are freaking attracted to these freaking bright studio light.
Yeah.
It's crazy, people.
I want
to
be in here.
Things we have to deal with. But anyway, what were you saying?
Just total nonstop action with the false finishes, of course. And then that V-trigger spot with Julia Hart.
Oh, yeah.
That was pretty pretty intense. And then even Kenny Omega is just like, well, I told you to get out of the way.
Yeah, yeah. He kind of was just like, well, you got involved. Yeah, that was it. I mean, there was lots of, I guess, like we said, total nonstop action. I mean, it's hard to really pinpoint it, because it's like, this is what we know
right.
a Young Bucks match, you know, or an Elite match to be. It's
yeah.
just badass spot after badass spot. And, you know, you have, speaking of The Undertaker, you have people like The Undertaker complaining, oh, they just do the same moves. And then it's not like, okay, like, you know, no disrespect, but okay, Taker, like any other main event wrestler, such as Hulk Hogan, such as John Cena, such as The Rock, such as Stone Cold, such as The Undertaker, doesn't have the same moves that they pull out. Old school.
Oh, God. Yeah, I think I seen something like that where he was talking shit.
Yeah. And it's like, yeah, this is what we know and love, and this is what we, you know, kind of, you know, I hate to say expect
yeah.
from the Young Bucks and the Elite and Kenny Omega. And hey, it works. If it works, it works. And mm-hmm. you know, maybe that's why they are better suited for AEW, because maybe it wouldn't work in WWE, but it definitely works in AEW, because like I've always said, it's like those are two different types of crowds.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
you know, in a WWE audience, you get half the crowd, maybe less than half the crowd are actually like fans that are like smart, in the know, you know, fans. In AEW, it's like, I would dare say 90% of the crowd.
Yeah.
You know, and that makes a big difference when you're watching from home, because you know, when it just like the emotion, you know, when it, right. when you see everyone else truly into it and into the little moments that not everyone would know,
mm-hmm.
you know, that makes you even more into it. And then, and like in WWE, like, I'm sorry to say, not to jump to the Iron Man match, but just for a second, like, I don't know if WWE could pull out an Iron Man match like that today, because I mean the last time they did it with the Iron Woman match, right?
Right.
And it's just like, you know, would the crowd be so hot the whole time in WWE as they are in AEW? Not to make a you know, we always have to make a comparison because it just is what it is.
Yeah.
You know, we're gonna compare Burger King to McDonald's. You know, we're gonna compare.
Yeah, it's like that.
Yeah, not to say one's better than the other, but it just makes you wonder, people. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? That's all I'm saying.
Yeah.
That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, they're both good.
But yeah, it was just good match. What would you rate it? We gotta move on.
Yeah, well, considering we had a title change, House of Black did end up winning.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
I'm going to actually give this match a 3. This is awesome.
Yeah, House of Black did win, and we were freaking excited when that happened. We weren't expecting it, but then we kind of saw it happening because it was an obvious setup for it, and then you saw Brody and even Buddy like guarding the pin when Malakai. It was like their little trios, all three of them.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, and then I don't know what happened after, because like it went quick. Dark and then it came back up with the spotlight and they were supposed to be standing there, but then they already were like, no, we're out.
Yeah. Like they didn't even get a chance to hold up the titles.
That couldn't have been a time issue.
Before the, no.
Yeah.
They got plenty of time on a night like this, but yeah, they just, lights went out and then they were gone. So it was like, okay, not much of a celebration. But then again, you know, House of Black, that's just what they do, is just go out and dip.
Maybe that's what it was supposed to be. I thought it was going to be like that, the lights go out, come back on, and they pose. They're posing in that red spotlight. But no, I think you're right. The lights go out and they come back on and they're gone. But it just so happened you could still see them exiting the ring. So it was still kind of just like, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was kind of weird. But, you know, I don't want it to take away from an amazing moment that the House of Black definitely deserves, and that to be the new Trios champion.
Yeah.
Ironically, I'm going to give this a 4. I'm going to give this an elite match.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice. I'm going to stick with my 3. Okay. Oh man. All right. And then just a little funny side note. This is 3 matches in. approximately like an hour and a half into the pay-per-view, and Jim Ross is done for the night. So he suddenly just dips out.
He's like, "All right, fellas, thank you."
I was like, "Oh wait, is this it?"
He had to go
No, he was done.
He had to go to bed.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to
What?
See, there's episodes where I try to go without the glasses because, you know, there's people out there that think, "Ooh, are you trying to wear glasses because you're cool?" Like, no, it's because I literally get a headache from these lights.
Yeah.
What's the next one?
Next, we had the Triple Threat Women's Match. Jamie Hayter, of course, the champ. Ruby Soho. And Saraya.
What I do here? Yeah. You want to go ahead and speak on this match a little bit? What do you think?
I guess it was all right. There wasn't really much to talk about, surprisingly, with this. It was just a bunch of back and forth.
And the whole story of the match is basically Ruby Soho kind of like, trying to get them to stop fighting, even though they're in a fucking match.
It wasn't like, Ruby, it was Saraya.
Huh?
It was Saraya.
Well, yeah. No, you're thinking of that one spot where Saraya was like, stop. No, she was just saying, like, stop hitting her. Oh. But no, it was like the whole story is like Ruby is conflicted, like, which side she's with.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Which,
But I then again, it was a triple threat match for the women's title. So it's kind of like, yeah, I didn't really, like I said, maybe I just didn't pay attention enough. I'm not trying to dog it, but I just, yeah, this kind of confusing.
Right.
What the story they were trying to tell was kind of confusing.
Yeah. Hayter retains.
Yeah.
Everyone was pretty, okay with that. You know, bad vibes, because of course, number one, I really did not want Saraya to win. I just feel like, you know, she just got there, she thinks she rules everything, and like, it's just, I just didn't think she was ready for that.
But Ruby Soho could have deserved that spot too, maybe. Yeah. I don't know if they're leading to that now, because after the match, when Hayter retained, you had Tony start attacking everyone.
Yeah.
And then it made it look like Ruby Soho was throwing Tony and Saraya out like she was against them, and then all of a sudden she started attacking Jamie Hayter and Britt Baker. So she now sides with them. So now it's Ruby Soho, Toni Storm, and Saraya. And what the fuck are they doing with the women's division?
I have no idea. I feel like there's so many other women that can be used right now, and I'm just frankly tired of seeing the same people on the screen.
I'm not even going to compare it. I'm not going to, because I don't have to say it.
Yeah.
I'm not going to say it, but you know when I'm, yeah.
I think we all know.
Like what, like you have two women's titles and like, I'm sorry. Okay. Like Jade Cargill wasn't even on tonight because you have nothing set up for her, because you never have nothing set up for her, because the only story with her is that she's undefeated and she's that bitch on that bitch show with that bitch championship.
Yeah.
And it's like, okay, like I'm like, she's kind of getting over. She's kind of popular. People cheer for her. People respect her. You don't like need, she kind of doesn't need the title anymore. Like, and kind of doesn't need the streak anymore. Let her be in a legit feud where she actually loses and then actually makes it mean something for somebody else. And then you have maybe a baby faced Jade Cargill, you know, go for the women's title now. Now that she, you know, maybe when she finally loses, she's like, okay, well, I lost. Now it's time for the next chapter, which is the women's title. You can do so much more. And then, now you finally, you freed up the TBS title. Now you have so much more you can do with that. And then, but no, you're saving all of that just for Jade Cargill.
Jade Cargill. Yeah. But just to, like today, have her do nothing. You know, besides defend it on Dynamite and Rampage against, you know, in these predictable matches.
I don't know. Yeah. I mean, I know. I mean, unless you're just waiting for Chris Statlander, but that's like at that point, it's like really, like you still can't do nothing else. And then the women's,
in the meantime, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, Jamie Hayter is a good women's, you know, champion, but like this whole feud has just been ongoing and just meaningless, kind of.
Mm-hmm. You know? Again, just adding to the list of feuds that I hope are done after this.
I think that's the disappointing part, because this clearly shows it's not.
Yeah, that's very true. Yeah, I'm going to give it a 2.
Yeah, I'm going to give it a, but this is gets a potato.
Oh man, the first potato in a while.
Just based on the story and the, you know, no disrespect to the competitors in this match.
Yeah.
But just based on everything around it, because like we've said before, our ratings don't just, you know, we're not freaking Dave Meltzer over here with, you know, scoring every freaking little move in the match and giving it a 0.573456867 5309. No, we're going based on, you know, even entrances, you know, the story, how it played out,
yeah,
crowd reaction, everything. And based on everything around this match,
so we're the real ratings.
Exactly.
Yeah,
that's good. Yeah. Based on everything around this match, it gets a potato.
Man. So, after this, we had the Texas Death Match with Jon Moxley and Hangman Adam Page.
Another feud that's kind of been just like, where's this going? What's going on? Can this finish? Like, it's kind of meaningless, but damn, was this a great match.
It was. It was good, because if they were going to go out like this and they were going to end it here, it would be like this. Go out with the banger.
Yeah, no, they really did. And then, honestly, we've seen a lot of brutal matches in AEW, and I would dare say this is the most brutal match. This had more barbed wire brutal high spots than the actual barbed wire death match between Mox and Omega. You know, and like everything down to like the back scratching and, like I said, all the barbed wire spots and barbed wire chairs and barbed wire tables and just wrapping straight up barbed wire around their arms and backs and shit.
And the fork. And
they were literally just, yeah, oh, and the fork. Jesus. Yeah, yeah. The old Abdullah the Butcher there.
Yeah, that's very Abdulish.
The brick, the chains.
Yes.
They, yeah.
I don't think I've ever seen a brick.
Right? Like, not like that. I don't think anyone's, like, we've seen a cinder block.
Yeah.
Seen the old Swerve and Rick Ross pull out the cinder block.
Yeah, but bricks and chains?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was really interesting. And, man, like, Moxie just loves to bleed.
Yeah, he really does. He really does. And then it ends with, of course, Hangman making Mox tap with the old chain rope choke. I can't believe Mox tapped.
I know.
Jesus, we had, we're getting a little, maybe it was like a foreshadowing the Blackpool Combat Club.
What do you mean?
With the tap. Talk about that with Brian match. Mm. They both tapped.
That's right. That's right. Okay.
Yeah. That's crazy. I don't know. Maybe that just, you know, ironic. I don't know. Coincidence. But I just thought that's kind of, I just think that's kind of cool.
Yeah.
You know?
No. Yeah, for sure.
What would you rate this?
I'm going to give it a 4.
Wow.
You
didn't want to give the trios match a 4? I'll give it a 3. You know what? If you're going to give it a 4, see how it feels. I'm going to give this a 3. This was awesome. It was awesome. This was awesome. So
it was awesome, but I, you know, say what you want about the bloody and the gory brutalness. I don't know. I like that.
Yeah. Yeah. So. That's more, your style. See, it's like not all typical old school freaking hip toss, drag toe hold, headlock.
Yeah.
Is great. You know, that's what's beautiful about wrestling is you can find a lot of different things for a lot of different people, and it's all subjective.
Yeah.
But the next match was for the TNT title. Of course, you had the old War Joe match.
War Joe.
Wardlow versus Samoa Joe. Yeah. This was a good heavy hitting back and forth, two big meaty men match.
Yeah. What?
And then what we got going on here? Sorry about that, people. A little glitch in the matrix there. Any notes on this match?
No, I mean, was it just me or was this match kind of quick?
It really was.
I think it was. I think it was the quickest of the night. Yeah. I feel like all the other ones lasted a little bit longer.
But it was still a hot match. You can tell that crowd was hot for it. Mm-hmm. A lot of chicks screaming for Wardlow.
I know. It's like, jeez.
Yeah. And then Wardlow ironically wins by sleeper hold. Mm-hmm. Wardlow is your new TNT champion, which was great. I think it was a good outcome in this match.
Yeah.
And now you have Wardlow versus Will Hobbs on Dynamite for the TNT title, which I think, like, if you're really going to set up Will Hobbs winning the Face of the Revolution ladder match and everything, and then just to give him a title shot on Dynamite.
Yeah.
But I guess that's what happens when you have pay-per-views so far apart, you know?
That's true, too. Only 4 a year.
And another thing, usually the Face of the Revolution ladder match is at Revolution, but they just did it on Dynamite this year.
Hmm. That's not confusing.
Yeah, it's just like...
It should be called Face of the Dynamite, then.
Right?
The hell?
I mean, don't get me started on the Sonic ring. Like, they have the Sonic ring, they have the casino chip, because they can't use a briefcase, because that would be too much, you know, copying the homework.
Right.
But it's like, think of something better than that.
Yeah.
At least, like... You know, I've thought about maybe they should go the Lucha Underground route with technically having a title where you can trade in for a title, but then that would, to the casual fan, that would be like, well, then why don't they just keep the title?
Yeah.
But do something, like maybe a ring or something, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like a diamond ring, but I don't know. Yeah. Anyway.
I'm going to give this match a 2.
I'll give it a 2-2. Two-two. A 2-2.
A 2-2.
Gets a 2-2.
Yeah.
Gets a pop.
Oh, man. So following the TNT title match, we had the 4-way tag team match with the Guns, Jeff Jarrett, Jay Lethal, The Acclaimed, and Orange Cassidy and Danhausen. I like Orange and Danhausen's matching gear tonight. No jean jackets, more like black jean jackets, I guess. I don't know.
Right. Yeah, Orange cool. Cassidy with the black jean look.
Yeah, black jean, exactly, yeah. This match, I feel like, was kind of all over the place. You know, I know that's kind of the point. You know, you got, what, so how many is that? 8? 8 dudes. Wait, not 8, right? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Okay, yeah, 8. 8 dudes going back and forth on each other, you know, interfering. And then you got the people on the side, you know, Sanjay and Satnam Singh. It's kind of just hard to, like, keep an eye on, like, hey, what's going on where? Jeff Jarrett, man, I know it's his character and all, but I really did not like the spot when he's over here, like, pushing around Aubrey, like...
That's old school wrestling, baby.
I know it is, but...
A woman gets in your way, he thinks he can smack her.
That's so bad.
Like, I know, it is really bad.
It's bad nowadays. Like, yeah, maybe you could have gotten away with that, Jeff, in 1940 when you had your... when you were wrestling in your prime. But, yeah, just not now, like, shit.
Yeah, but, this match, the Guns retain, obviously, mm-hmm. by pinning Danhausen. And
yep, they singled him out.
Yeah. And of course it was set up the return of FTR. What'd you think about that?
Yeah, I thought it was about damn time. You know, they've been gone, and it's kind of funny. We just were listening to that to the Busted Open radio show a couple of days ago, and you had Dax Harwood on there being interviewed, and you know, he got Tommy Dreamer asking him, you know, what's next? Are y'all guys gonna come back to the ring? And of course he didn't want to say anything. Of course it was probably planned. So now they're back, and I think they want their titles back, which is cool. Guns, I just feel like, I mean, maybe that's why they're gonna give them back to FTR, because the Guns, you know, retain. I don't see the hype. I don't like the Guns as champs. You know, nothing against them. I just feel like they could be a better place somewhere else. So.
No, yeah, I totally agree. Totally agree, and back now, I put up the chips and get the munchies. I wonder why. So yeah, typical wrestling fan talking shit about wrestling wise. I'm sitting on a couch chowing down on chips. It's all right.
Oh man, what would you rate this match?
Give it a 2.
I'm gonna give it a 2 also.
I would give it, would have gotten and honestly would have got a potato. The match itself wouldn't have got it, but like I said, you know, everything around it,
yep,
would have got a potato. But since it's the return of FTR, it gets a 2.
Yeah, you took the words out of my mouth. Yeah. Definitely. Yeah, if it just ended like that. If it just ended just like that and that was it, went on to the next match, I'd be like, okay, what the heck?
Yeah. Yeah.
So, yeah.
And then it's time for the main event.
Yes, it is. We had the 60-minute Iron Man match.
A lot to go off in this match. Obviously, it was a 60-minute match. First thing to know is MJF's entrance. Mm-hmm. Pretty cool. Pretty cool entrance. Even coming out with the white devil mask.
Yeah.
Which was pretty interesting, and just like his robe, it's like boxer slash Ric Flair esque, but not too flashy. More like a minimalist type of like robe look. So I don't know. I really like that look.
Yeah, for sure.
So I thought that was really cool. His gear was cool. Brian's always just kind of just, you know, mainly minimalist, where he's just like, you know, his gimmick is just, he's a good wrestler, mm-hmm. which, you know, I guess there's a lot of people in AEW with that gimmick, but yeah. You know,
he's just there to fight. He doesn't do anything extra.
I know, but I wish he has the American Dragon and all that, but I wish there was more, you know, there's a little more pizzazz sometimes, when it comes to big matches and Brian, you know, even at WrestleManias, like the only thing he would change is like he would just add like, you know, like fox fur on, you know, on his boots,
like to his costume.
Yeah, or really, not fox faux,
not costume, their gear.
Yeah, yeah, you know, and that's another thing about like matches like WrestleMania. You know, it's big entrances. You know, so AEW, they tend to try to do it at various pay per views. But anyway, that's just a little like, you know, me nitpicking, with that, but. Yeah. Of course, I did like the look from another nitpicking, like, editor's perspective. I did like the look on the stage. Like, they set that up perfectly with, you know, the timer and their pictures to know which side, like, who's who.
Yes.
And then the little scoreboard. I thought that was pretty cool. Yeah. But, of course, they didn't actually start wrestling for, like, 10 minutes.
Yeah, predictable.
Yeah, yeah. MJF pulling out all the typical, you know, playbook heel sticks. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, once... You know, I guess that was worth it, because once they actually started wrestling, they went all out. But little note of the MJF spot with the kid.
With the kid is so freaking sad. Like, I was talking about it after. I'm like, oh, God, like, that kid was so little. Like, if it wasn't already set up that he was going to do that, you know, how is that a part of the match? You know, throwing water or a drink of some sort on a kid. Like, it's probably not even really... It didn't look old enough to understand, like, the whole, like, that's a heel move.
Yeah.
You know, like, he's just there to enjoy wrestling, genuinely, and, like, man, it's just...
Yeah.
Didn't have to do that, but...
Well, Tony Khan apparently talked to the kid after, so if it wasn't, like I said, if it wasn't set up, or like you said, if it wasn't set up, then,
Yeah, he made things right.
Yeah, exactly, which, yeah, maybe that'd be worth it in the long run. And then, I didn't want the match to go one or two typical ways, like how wrestlers can usually go for like 20 minutes in a typical match before they lose. But then when it comes to like an Iron Man match or a 2 out of 3 falls match, they all of a sudden, like, they just give up pins so easily, like, right. after, like, a suplex or a DDT. It's, yeah. like, and then, like, 2 minutes into the match, you already, like, got one fall. It's like, really? Like, that's not,
yeah,
not, you know. And I also didn't want to do the typical, you know, Bret Hart, Shawn Michaels route where it just, like, they just 0-0 the whole time and then it goes sudden death, because it'd be like, okay, that's really cheap writing.
Yeah.
If you're just trying to play this out like the first Iron Man match. But it was a really good, really good spots throughout the match. I mean, you had outside spots, you had crowd, you know, semi-crowd spots, you had apron spots where, you know, the apron, I always get nervous when they wrestle on the apron. Of course, the hardest part of the ring, that steel beams that outline the ring. And yeah, I always get nervous when, especially when they're trying to do power drivers and shit on the apron. It's like, Jesus Christ, guys, like, come on, you know?
Yeah,
but dangerous. Yeah, that just goes to show how they were just pulling everything out. Even MJF pulling out high spots with the backflip, you know, spot, springboard backflip to the outside spot. MJF yeah. doing a freaking top turnbuckle elbow drop to the outside on a table.
Was pretty gnarly.
Yeah, and then using the remnants of the table to give Brian a tombstone power driver, which, you know, made Brian, you know, bleed.
Yeah.
And then I don't even know what made MJF start bleeding. I think it was like a headbutt from Brian, but
yeah, it was the head contact.
He definitely bladed too deep, because he yeah. was that, talk about a crimson mask, he was pouring.
Yeah, within seconds, it was insane.
Yeah, Brian got the first fall with the psycho knee, at 35 minutes, so they had already been wrestling for like 25 minutes, right?
About 25 minutes in,
yeah, and that got the first fall, and then it got a little confusing right here, because the jobber scorekeeper makes everyone else up on this spot, including yeah. the announcers. The announcers didn't even know what the fuck was going on. But yeah, so he got the first fall, and then MJF low-blowed Brian. And of course, like you, we were kind of, you kind of asked that before, like, oh, there's no DQ? And I'm like, no, DQs count in Iron Man matches. They even announced that before, that DQs do count. So whenever MJF low-blow Brian, he technically got disqualified, so right. Brian is now at 2. So 0-2, but in the typical heel antics move, that was worth it to MJF, because he got to pin Brian twice in a row because of that low blow.
Yeah.
And then it just matched up back to 2-2.
Yeah.
But the scorekeeper was kind of late on doing the, you know, making the graphics and the transitions, and then the announcers even got confused. So yeah, that was kind of confusing. But but nonetheless, anything else at this point? What do you think?
I don't know. I mean, regardless, you, like, I know you were talking about those high spots, and then you had MJF holding onto his knee for 30 minutes of this match. Yeah, just, constantly selling his knee the whole time.
Yeah, a little more than Brian was selling his arm, and that was, like, the whole build-up to this match was Brian's arm, and, yeah, really, yeah, MJF sold his, like, he always sells his knee.
Yeah, he really does. And then you had your, well, so at this point, it's okay. I'm losing count of the track of where their numbers
are. So, yeah, I mean, I guess the next fall was going to be whenever he did the Heat Seeker. Yeah, okay. Yeah. Oh, yeah. That was after the tombstone, and he was like squeezing Brian's head open.
Yeah, like a pimple.
Yeah, like trying to pour the blood out. And yeah, I think around that time is when he threw him back in the ring. He did his finisher move, the Heat Seeker, and pinned Brian. And that's when it was the, you know, what it would be for, I guess, almost not the rest of the match, because yeah, shortly after that Brian made him tap with the LaBelle Lock, so it was 3-3.
Okay,
and then yeah, another thing, note, like the crowd was so hot during, like I said, I don't know if you could pull this off, and you know, I'm not even just gonna directly in a lot of companies, let's just say that I don't know if you could pull this off in a lot of companies and have the crowd be that hot throughout the whole match. I think
the way from beginning up until the end.
Yeah, I think that really attests to like the build to this match, and you know, of course, the respect for Brian and for MJF, you know, even the whole, like, when they collapsed and, like, head-to-head and, like, kind of collapsed on their knees in the middle of the ring. And, like, the crowd knows, like, you know they're freaking tired at this point.
Yeah.
And they're giving it their all, and they're busted open and bleeding, and everyone just starts clapping. Like, this is, like, this is what I love about crowds like that.
Yes.
So, yeah, the And then MJF kept drinking water.
I'd say we should have counted, but approximately 4 or 5 times he took freaking water break. That you literally had the crowd chanting H2O.
They
got into it for that.
Yeah, it's like, I mean, technically, could he go 60 minutes? Because I don't know if he could. He kept drinking water, I don't know if that would fly in a lot of other places. You know, I've heard stories about how, Vince and stuff hated when people would do that. Like, R-Truth did that one time, I think. And Vince got so pissed that
Because you said it makes them look like what? Like they're not athletic?
Yeah, that they're not athletic. Really need water? Like, you're supposed to be a larger-than-life, superhero almost. Yeah. And, you need to stop for water after a 10-minute match.
Exactly. Like, I didn't see Brian have any water exactly. 60, I guess ended up being, 70 minutes, which we could get into?
Oh, yes. Yeah, because... the last 60 seconds was Brian after the LaBelle lock earlier from Brian that tied it up to 3-3. So, of course, the last 60 seconds, Brian got the single leg crab trying to make MJF tap out, which, of course, the crowd was even hotter for the last 60 seconds. Is he going to tap? Is he going to tap? Is he going to tap?
Yeah.
And literally MJF waited till the clock ran out and the bell rang and then he tapped, which, of course... I knew it's gonna go to sudden death. Like, yes, come on.
But they made it seem like it wasn't.
It wasn't. The crowd chanting, "Oh, bullshit," and all that. And it was I'll tell him. Okay. And then he goes, Tony Khan said that? Tony Khan? He said that? Oh. Ladies and gentlemen, we're gonna go to sudden death. Like, okay, dude. Like, really? Do you really have to draw it out that bad? You should have had Tony Khan come on himself. Oh, my God, let's decide this. We're going to go to sudden death. Thank you. I got a major announcement Wednesday. I'm telling you. It's going to be great.
Logan's all concerned down here. Logan literally wakes from his nap. Like, what's going on?
Oh, God. That was hilarious.
Yeah, it really was. And then, but I think what that really was all for was... to give them some oxygen, because you see the medical in there giving them their oxygen from the oxygen tanks, right before they announced that, it's gonna go into sudden death. So then they looked revived, right? Like they were good.
Really did. Like Brian really looked like he was like, all right, I'm ready to go.
Yes.
And then that was kind of cool how they did that for that, and then the oxygen tank kind of came into play because when you had the sudden death, well, MJF first tried to cheat with hitting him with the title directly in front of the ref. The ref's like, hey, you hit him. That's it. You're done.
He's like, beat my guest.
And then, of course, a little decoy so he can use a dynamite diamond ring.
Yeah.
But then that didn't end up working out. So it ended up being a spot where MJF was on the outside. Brian went to get him. And then MJF knocks him. knocked him.
Yeah.
I hope that thing wasn't real steel. Hopefully it was like 10 or something.
Yeah.
Because he knocked him with that freaking...
the oxygen tank.
Yeah, yeah. And then MJF retains, but shockingly, Brian tapped out.
Yeah.
Brian tapped out.
Yep.
Just like Moxley tapped out. So you had two members of the BCC.
The BCC?
The BBC tap out.
Yeah, so MJF... ends up retaining 4-3 at the end of this 65-70 minute Ironman match. It was pretty crazy this whole time. What would you rate it?
I don't know. This is hard.
This is hard.
Because,
I don't know.
We kind of knew. I kind of had a good feeling Brian wasn't going to win going into this.
Yeah.
I think this whole thing was really just to set up that, MJF can hang, and he just to give another classic to MJF, give him reason why he shouldn't have to wrestle every week, give him reason why he should maintain the face of the company. It sucks that Brian, I want to see him with the title, but maybe it's just not now, and maybe he just doesn't care, maybe he's never gonna get it. I don't know, but for now, I don't know. What would you rate it?
I'm gonna give it a 4.
I was going to give it a 3.
Oh, man.
But I'll match you at 4. We'll match this
time. Okay. Yeah.
I'll give it a 4.
I think I'm going to say it. If Brian would have ended up winning tonight and MJF would have lost, I think this would have gotten a 5. But considering MJF retains, but it was still a badass match, I'm going to give it a 4.
Yeah. All right. That was pretty good. What about the pay-per-view as a whole?
Pay-per-view as a hoe.
As a hoe. As a hoe. Pay-per-view as a hoe. I give it a 3.
I'm going to give it a 3. It was an awesome pay-per-view.
Revolution 2023 was a 3. This is awesome.
Yep.
Nice, nice. Anything else you want to note?
I don't think so. I mean, what's next for AEW? I guess we'll see.
Yeah, I guess we will see.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, that's usually the thing. After a pay-per-view, we'll start setting up the new feuds.
Right.
Of course, you know, Starks and Jericho's done, so we'll see what's going on with that. Christian, I don't know if he's going to go away or something. You know, what's going to happen with that? Hopefully Jungle Boy.
No, Christian just came back.
I know, exactly. So it's like, so what? Yeah, what's going to happen there?
Yeah.
Jungle Boy, hopefully he continues on with, hopefully it's not just a now feud with Luchasaurus, you know?
Yeah, hopefully he finds something else.
You think Christian's going to come back with a new gimmick? You think Christian's going to have a dead man gimmick?
I don't know. My God.
We'll see. Of course, ooh, what's next for the Elite now that they lost the Trios title?
True.
Ooh, that's interesting.
True, true. And then the House of Black is just beginning.
Ooh, that's a good way to put it.
Yeah.
Jim Ross, of course, is asleep for the night. Won't see him until, I don't know, Rampage. Right now he's on Rampage, right?
Yeah.
Hello, it's AEW Dynamite. It's on Wednesday, which means one thing. It's Friday, which means AEW Dynamite is on Wednesday.
Oh, poor guy.
Hangman and Moxley, is this the end of this feud?
Yeah.
Now that Hangman won?
Yep. Maybe. Yeah. And then Jamie Hayter.
We didn't mention Hangman's new. Well, I don't know if it was a new song just for the, you know, the typical. I forgot what the name of that song, but that's that typical old country outlaw song. Mm-hmm. Maybe it was just for the night, you know?
Maybe. I think so.
I think it was pretty cool, though.
Yeah.
The red instead of the yellow. Of course, Warlow and Will Hobbs. That's the only thing we do know for sure. So we'll see where they go with that. Oh, and we do know for sure the guns probably were transitional. So FTR, because you can't have FTR versus the Acclaim. So now it makes sense that the guns were, you know, transitional for FTR to come back and win the titles.
Right. Yeah. Right. Mm-hmm. I would say so. And then Hayter, you skipped right over the women. What's next for?
Oh, yeah. It was on the top. But I didn't see that. My bad.
I mean, hopefully it's, you know, if Hayter is going to go somewhere else, then just leave those three to do their own thing. We'll see who shows up.
Well, yeah. Are they still going to be all the three? Well, yeah, they attacked Hayter and Britt, so of course it's not over.
Yeah.
And Rebel, just like they stopped using Rebel, you kind of need a third
quietly
now.
Quietly removed her, yeah.
Who's going to be there? Now Jamie Hayter and Britt need a third to finish feuding with them. So it's going to be like someone like Sheeta. You know, it's just not.
It's never ending.
Yes.
Oh, man. And then, of course, MJF.
The banging rats.
Yeah.
As we're recording these, but I'm banging some rats.
Probably by now.
I don't know. Brian, yeah. Yeah, that's the beauty of these pay-per-views is, or, you know, the show after the pay-per-views is you see how this all sets up.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
The fallout from Revolution.
Yeah.
Hopefully this week. So we'll see.
Yeah, we will see. Hope you enjoyed the pay-per-view, guys. If you see it, or if you've seen it. Sorry, it's getting late already.
I know, I'm sorry.
Let us know what you think in the comments below. Give this episode a like. Make sure you're subscribed. And if you really enjoyed this episode and you want to support us, go to patreon.com/caveinuniverse, which is our flagship brand, where we have a Jobber Circle tier, which you can go request watch-alongs. Got some bonus episodes, some lost episodes there. And yeah, tons of good stuff there.
Yes.
You can also check out our flagship show at Cave In Universe. And what else you got to say, Cameron?
And don't forget to get your Jobber t-shirts on caveIn.com.
Interesting. Yes. Good night, Jobbers.